Today on Secula, we're announcing an urgent campaign to stop Schumer and Democrats from trying to make Roe permanent tomorrow in Congress.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secula. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Secula.
Folks, you may have heard about this vote tomorrow in the U.S. Senate for Senate Democrats, along with a couple of potential Republicans, to try and codify Roe versus Wade. And you'll see it downplayed a lot as, oh, it's a political vote. Even the Washington Post had a headline, why Democrats won't be able to codify Roe versus Wade into law. Don't believe it for a minute. There is a process for them to get this vote done. They could get the votes to codify Roe, and they could get the votes to end the legislative filibuster. Remember, they get to set the rules on the legislative filibuster. If they get 51 votes to change that rule, guess what? No legislative filibuster, and we believe they've got the votes to codify Roe to some extent. It's already passed the House. A very extreme version, a version that would get rid of informed consent, a version that would get rid of any kind of waiting periods, a version that would get rid of any restrictions really at all on abortion. All those restrictions we fought for over decades, it would try and wipe those out. But there is a less radical proposition put forward by two Republican senators, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. There could be a deal made to put their legislation in if they support ending the legislative filibuster. So in this 24 hours, folks, do not count what the mainstream media is saying is just a political vote. I just don't think they want to set the bar too high because they can't guarantee that they've got the votes yet, Dad, to end the filibuster. But we're on kind of this heightened alert, and we're launching a matching moment right now because you've got to fight this at all. You got to be ready to fight once the decision comes out from the court. But you also, we're ready to fight even if Congress were to codify Roe.
Here's the thing. We've got the vote. Looks like there's going to be a vote Wednesday. It could go either way. I mean, anybody that's assuming that this is not going to pass, it's very dangerous when you do that because you have two Republicans that are putting a bill forward, as Jordan said, that in fact codify a portion of Roe. Now, we've already deployed our government affairs teams. They've already been to the House, to the Senate. They're working with the House now too, working with both. Than Bennett will be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. At the same time, our legal team has prepared what will be legal position papers that have been distributed, but folks, we also have to be prepared for litigation if they do this. Now, this is all coming because someone leaked the opinion from the Supreme Court on the Dobbs case, which, as everyone knows now, was a vote to overturn Roe versus Wade as being fundamentally flawed from the outset. You know, there are people that were pro-abortion that acknowledged that Roe versus Wade was not on a firm legal footing, including Lawrence Tribe from Harvard and Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, I think what we have to understand here is we're in a moment. And if you play down this idea, well, we look like we've got a good draft opinion, it leaked, and it looks like it's going to overturn Roe versus Wade. They are trying to preemptively prevent that from ever really taking place, because they're trying to put it into law. And I think, again, the liberal media is playing down the expectations game for their own base. They also don't want you paying attention. This is one of those votes they want to say, oh, don't pay too much attention to. It's a pill. It's really difficult for them to do. We just laid out in 30 seconds how they could do it. And we're going to get into more detail with Than Bennett, our director of government affairs. But to take this one lying down, when you're on the cusp of a huge victory,
biggest
for
victory,
the life, a huge victory to protect children's life, you don't take any of these votes lying down when they've got a path. It might be a narrow path, but they have a path to codifying Roe. We have a legal argument about why that's unconstitutional, but that would require going back into federal court, not being able to then have this debate in the state legislatures, which is the idea if we do win this case. So we want you to be part of this matching moment. You have until midnight tomorrow night. We freed up $250,000 in matching funds. That's our goal, is to raise $250,000 by midnight tomorrow night to protect life. Donate today at aclj.org/match. That's aclj.org/match. We have got to take this seriously and not be lying down. There's a real challenge here. And so I want you to understand what's happening tomorrow in Washington, D.C. There's two pieces of legislation. One is a more extreme codification of Roe. Really, I mean, it's abortion up until birth, no state restrictions, no informed consent, all the other issues that we fought on for life for decades to get into place would be wiped out. Even conscience clause protections wiped out. Now, we believe at the ACLJ, we already put out a shorter memo that we released last week, that would be unconstitutional based off the Supreme Court draft leaked opinion, because the constitutional arguments that they're relying on, provisions they're relying on, would not give them anywhere to rely on if those provisions don't it contained in them, and the court says clearly this right to privacy, so they can't rely on that. So, but we would still be fighting in federal court. And there's all this downplay. You even heard it if you're watching the broadcast during the break about this vote and the extreme Schumer language, never seeing the light of day, and there's the legislative filibuster. But I want to go right to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. Than, we launched a matching moment this morning to raise $250,000 because we're ready to fight this if Congress gets out ahead of the Supreme Court and codifies Roe, and way too many commentators. Listen, I hope they're all right. I hope this totally fails tomorrow, but it's already passed the House, and way too many people are putting this effort. I think they're underestimating, Than, the power of the abortion industry to sway votes, to try and either eliminate the legislative filibuster or at least eliminate the legislative filibuster for this issue. They set their own rules, Than. It only takes 51. So I wanted to explain to people, stop listening to the mainstream media who's playing this down so they don't oversell it for Democrats.
Yeah, Jordan, there is just absolutely no question that they are fundamentally incorrect about the fact that this is a foregone conclusion, and here's why. Leader Schumer filed cloture on that bill that you're describing that would essentially outlaw any state-based restriction, would codify Roe. It would be very, very extreme. He filed cloture last night, Jordan, which means tomorrow he can call that cloture vote up for a vote. And technically, Jordan, yes, it takes 60 votes, according to current precedent, for that cloture vote to pass and for them to get on this bill. But Jordan, we all know this. If they can come up with 50 votes in order to begin debate on the bill, they can do anything they want with that amendment, with that language. So you talked about the two Republicans who have put forward language to codify Roe. Jordan, if they can get on the bill, they could then put that language into the substance of the bill, and then you have two Republicans willing to get it over the line. So it would be a dramatic mistake, Jordan, to overlook this moment in the United States Senate tomorrow. Remember, they took this vote on cloture on this bill in February. And Jordan, they had 49 members of the U.S. Senate that were willing to go along with it. A couple of them missed the vote, but they were only one vote short. Jordan, there is a maneuver they can make to try to get around that. We can't look past it.
You know, then I look at the bill and I look at the legislation, Senator Schumer's, and it exempts out, folks. This is how serious this is. Not only does it go beyond Roe, and it, frankly, it goes beyond Roe. Lindsey Graham said it's just basically an abortion on demand whenever. But it also exempts out the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which gives the conscience protections to those individuals that do not want to participate in the abortion procedure. The bill that Senator Schumer's put forward under Section 5, which is called Applicability and Preemption, preempts the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is where a lot of these statutory protections come for healthcare workers who don't want to perform abortion procedures. We handle dozens of those cases every year, oftentimes settled without court. Many times we still have to go to court. But that's how extreme this legislation is, and that's why we really have a 24-hour window here to defeat this.
Really do, Jay. I mean, this is probably the most extreme piece of legislation on this issue that I've ever seen. In addition to trampling the religious freedom rights that you mentioned, Section 3 of the bill, Jay, which starts on page 4, goes through a number of laws, and Jordan alluded to this, that would also be wiped off the books. Just let me give you just one example. Informed consent laws. So even if you think abortion should be legal, don't you believe that a mother should have the ability to access the most up-to-date technology about what that procedure would involve? A lot of states have enacted those laws. laws. This legislation would wipe that off the books from a federal level. And Jay, just one other point I wanted to mention. You talked about the analysis that we did that we think this bill is unconstitutional. Every single office of the United States Senate has that analysis in front of them as they prepare for this vote tomorrow. But we can't wait rest on that. Yes, that's an argument to make. Yes, that's an argument we'll make in court, and the United States Senate should consider it. But Jay, there is going to be a lot of pressure in Washington, D.C. tomorrow on Republicans and Democrats when they go to the floor of the Senate to cast this vote.
To see how serious this is, take a listen to what Nancy Pelosi said just yesterday.
I do think that it puts an urgency on what's happening in the election. One or two more senators could sweep back the filibuster rule for this purpose, and then women would have a right to choose.
I mean, understand what she just said. One or two more senators then sweep back, remove the filibuster, and then they have 50 votes.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I think you've got to take this urgently. It's why we have launched this matching moment. It's not a month long. It's literally a little bit longer than 24 hours. It ends at midnight tomorrow night. And again, you may have seen it in your email this morning. We've got to be ready here. You cannot just wait for the Supreme Court decision. They are trying everything they can. And I think you've got to understand the lobbying that we are up against here with Planned Parenthood and the movement we're up against. I mean, they've already got two Republican senators on their side. They don't go as extreme as maybe Planned Parenthood would like. But then that's where I think this gets very sticky very fast. Everybody keeps talking about Sinema and Manchin, and people are ignoring Collins and Murkowski and how this, again, you could have a couple votes to in the filibuster and a couple different votes to actually legislate their version of putting these abortion protections back into law.
Exactly correct, Jordan. I think that's the point that people are missing. This is exactly what I'm concerned about. Yes, they do have to clear 50 votes twice, but you don't have to use the same 50 senators to do it. So, Jordan, I mean, I can totally see Leader Schumer going to Joe Manchin and saying, look, you've acknowledged you don't want to end the legislative filibuster, but what about a carve-out for an issue of this magnitude? What about if we only require 50 votes to begin debate on an issue of this magnitude? Will you give me your vote for that, and then you can oppose the final bill? I can see Joe Manchin saying yes for that. Then they get on the bill. And Jordan, what if Leader Schumer takes the Collins-Murkowski language and amends the underlying bill with that language? And then when you get to a final vote, you really think Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski are going to vote against their own bill, even if they opposed nuking the filibuster earlier? Jordan, I think that is a pathway that they have. I think Senate Republicans need to have their eyes wide open to it. I think Joe Manchin needs to have his eyes wide open to it. But we just have to shoot our listeners straight. Yes, they have to get to 50 votes twice, but Jordan, they don't have to use the same 50 senators to do it. One set of 50 and then a different set of 50 gets the job done.
And let me tell you something. Our side's highly motivated, so is theirs. I mean, you're seeing that in the streets in Washington, D.C., where these justices live. This leaked opinion, the design of it was to do exactly what is happening, and that was to push through legislation to intimidate the judiciary and then maybe pack the court if necessary. So at the ACLJ, what we're doing is we immediately responded, and we are going to immediately respond. When I say, because things can be changing aggressively over the next 24, 48 hours. So what we're doing today with this matching moment, because it's just, this is a moment in time, a moment in history. What we're suggesting is that we approach it legislatively, which Stan's office is already doing and will continue to do over the next 24 hours. Our litigation teams are already, listen, I've got the memos. We already have memos in hand, legal memos that are being done on this. We are going to be ready for litigation if necessary. And if legislation passes, it will be. You realize, though, folks, the opinion hasn't even come out yet. That was just a draft that was leaked. So these individuals are that bent on getting their way. So when you're fighting the abortion lobby, you got to understand what you're fighting. And when you... We have an email that's out today. Let me just read two lines. The bombshell leak from the Supreme Court has unleashed a firestorm. And boy, that's almost an understatement. We only have about 24 hours to defeat the radical left's attempt to make Roe v. Wade permanent. And let me tell you, the legislation actually goes beyond Roe versus Wade. So what we're doing is we've got a matching moment here. We've freed up $250,000 of our matching funds for these in 24 hours because we're going to have to expend the resources, folks, to win this. So go to ACLJ.org for the matching moment or respond to the email that has already been sent to you. You may be getting a text as well. We encourage you to do that. Very, very important. And Jordan, I think what people need to understand is this is moving very quickly, and we are on top of it.
This is why, for us, it's a little bit more than 24 hours. It's a matching moment. We've never done this before. This is something brand new. But because we're having to fight on so many angles, so we've got to educate the senators on why we believe this is unconstitutional, maybe try to persuade a couple of those senators that what they're even trying to do here, even if they're pro-abortion, it will not withstand legal challenge. We've got to be ready, of course, once the decision comes out from the court, to fight the battle in the states. But, folks, that's the battle we want to have. Imagine if we get stuck back in federal court for another decade, fighting over whether or not Congress has a role here and whether they are able to legislate. That will be decided these next 24 hours. So we've got to be ready. We've got to be pushing, and we cannot take this for granted. Too many people, I see it online, both sides, just ignoring this. Oh, no big deal. Do you think Planned Parenthood's lobbyists aren't working this right now as we speak? They are $1 billion a year. Let me repeat that. $1 billion a year business who donate lots of money to all these senators. You don't think they're twisting arms as we speak? They are. We've got to fight back. Stand with us in this matching moment at ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've launched what is we're calling a matching moment. This is first time at the ACLJ. We're taking very seriously this attempt by the U.S. Senate. It's already passed the U.S. House to get ahead of the Supreme Court decision, because they think, of course, with the leaked opinion draft, that they are going to lose, and that over the Roe versus Wade. This entire legal structure will be overturned. So they're going to try to get out ahead of it and legislate abortion as a right, codify it into federal law. Now, we have already put out a legal memo about why we believe that's unconstitutional, because they're going to be relying on constitutional provisions that the court is likely to say does not protect or give a right to abortion. But that's not going to stop them from having the vote tomorrow. And we've got two Republican senators with their own pro-abortion legislation. And we've got a fight over. Listen, they've been getting rid of the filibuster left and right. We've seen Democrats do it.
Republicans
for nominees. And Republicans do it for Supreme Court nominees. There's also talk. And Than, I want people to understand this. Because they're getting a lot of pressure. Over 113, I think, members of the House have asked the Senate to get rid of the legislative filibuster. There's talk about doing it specifically and maybe trying to say, well, we're only getting rid of the legislative filibuster for abortion rights. They talked about this for voting rights too. Is that a possibility that they try? I mean, they set their own rules. Can they do something narrow while still keeping the broader legislative filibuster intact?
Yeah, sure it is, Jordan. I mean, in essence, they can do whatever they want on this. They can define what has to exceed cloture, 60 votes for cloture, and what doesn't. So they could say, you know, something that's considered a fundamental right or something that is of imminent importance, really whatever they want to set the standard at, Jordan, that they can get 50 votes for, they can do it. The other thing that's important to remember here is this has already passed the House, at least the Schumer version of this legislation that cloture has been filed on in the Senate. It's already passed the House last February. And so if it clears the Senate, it would go straight to the president's desk for a signature. Basically, it all boils down to this, Jordan. They have 51 votes on substance in favor of at least the codification part. So they just have to figure out a way procedurally to get to that final vote on codification and then get those 51 votes. Whatever it takes as far as defining what requires cloture and what doesn't, Jordan, they can do. They control the chamber.
Andy, you reviewed the opinion yesterday. You reviewed, of course, the legal memos that we've put together. The opinion that Justice Alito, the draft, is very clear and very precise. So I think it's important for people to understand what it actually does.
Okay, I think that's an important point too, Jay. I read this opinion. It is one of the best drafted opinions I have ever read. It starts with historical context. It talks about the Constitution. It talks about the traditions. It talks about English law. It talks about antiquity. It goes right through and finds unequivocally that there is no constitutional right under the federal Constitution to abortion. It doesn't exist. It's not there. It's never been there. It never was there. The states have that right to determine. And the I think the hero of the opinion comes out to be Justice Byron White, who dissented in 1973, a Kennedy appointee, who said that Roe at that time was an exercise of what I quote as raw judicial power. What Justice Alito said in this draft opinion is, and this is important, and I'm quoting, the court usurped the power to address a question of profound moral and social importance that the Constitution unequivocally leaves for the people, meaning the states.
But now we know that Congress is trying to say, no, wait a minute, we want it to be the people, the federal government making that decision. And so you've got the, and this is just a draft. We don't know what the final opinion looks like until it comes out. But they're reacting to this draft. And the understand, this is planned, folks. They're doing this on purpose. They leaked the opinion to get exactly what's happening with Chuck Schumer right now. We have to combat it in the House. If that opinion becomes the law, if that's what the law is, we're now have got this challenge. And that's why we have, literally have 24 hours to get this resolved.
And I think where you can't lie down here and just say, okay, I think we're going to win this one and we'll have the battle in the states, you know, starting this summer, is who you're up against. So they may not have gotten the grassroots intensity that they wanted out of this politically. The charge again that like people are so outraged, everyone's taking to the streets. It's not happening. I mean, there's protests going on, of course, in these justices' house. Those are very planned by the abortion industry. But you cannot say, well, because of inflation and because of the war in Ukraine and all these other issues that we're facing, that this industry, which is so tied to so many of these politicians in the U.S. Senate, is just going to say, yeah, okay, we'll go spend billions and billions of dollars fighting it out in the states to keep our right to perform these gruesome procedures so we can make money off of it. They are going to do make their last-ditch effort to keep this in Washington, D.C. You know, this is the story here that's, I think, so important, Thad, is that's where they're the strongest. The abortion lobby is the strongest in Washington, D.C., and Capitol Hill, and inside the federal government. They get a lot weaker when you get out to states and these politicians who, state legislators who have got to be really responsive to their own constituents. And they, you know, so if they can keep this federal, I guarantee you they've got everybody on the phone they can right now twisting those senators' arms.
Yeah, it's sort of sickly ironic, isn't it, Jordan? I mean, even if you go to blue states and you go to pro-choice Americans who would call themselves pro-choice, they would find themselves in a situation if that draft opinion becomes the holding of the court where, Jordan, not a whole lot would change for them. And I don't think they would actually be that animated about it. That is not how I would describe things in Washington, D.C. I would describe things in Washington, D.C. Just as you just did. The stranglehold here is held at the industry level. It's held by Planned Parenthood. It's held by NARAL. It's held by the activists that are picketing in front of the court, in front of the justice's house. So, Jordan, I think it's actually dramatically out of step with their voters, even in blue states. But that's the reality, and that's where this vote is taking place tomorrow. Those senators who are going to be casting votes, they're not back in those blue states right now. They're here where the abortion lobby is.
Listen, the media is trying to say, though, this is just a show vote. That's not what Chuck Schumer's saying. Listen to his own words. Byte 27.
A vote on this legislation is not an abstract exercise. This is as urgent and real as it gets. We will vote to protect a woman's right to choose, and every American is going to see on which side every senator stands.
I want to say this, Andy, really quickly here. That's why we have to have a multi-pronged attack. The law and the legislation.
That's exactly right. We have to attack the legislation, and we are doing that, and the law, which I am focused on very much so right now, the law, which is very clear that the Constitution does not confer a right to an abortion. Any codification of this would be unconstitutional under the draft of the opinion that I have read, and that Roe and Casey must be overruled and the authority to regulate abortion returned to the people and their elected representatives, the states. That's what Justice Alito said in this draft opinion, and that's what the law is.
Yeah, but what the thing is, they're trying to usurp it before the opinion's even an opinion.
Right.
And that's why we're in this matching moment. Jordan's going to let you know what to do, folks. But we're, this is a 24-hour period. We want to raise $250,000 to expend the resources necessary to get the job done, which is defeat this legislation tomorrow.
And we've released $250,000 in matching funds so we could ultimately raise $500,000 here, because if you if we hit that goal, you know, your $25 donation, just like in a matching challenge month, is like $50. We've released this $250,000 matching moment goal until midnight tomorrow night. Go to aclj.org/match or just aclj.org. You'll see it on the homepage. Share it with your friends and family. Don't take this victory lying down. It's not over yet. The fight is really just beginning. We don't even have an opinion from the court.
We need your help, and the moment is now. The leak of the Supreme Court draft opinion that would overturn Roe versus Wade has triggered the pro-abortion Senate to force a vote to codify Roe this Wednesday, May 11th. We believe enshrining Roe into federal law is simply unconstitutional. We won't stand for it, and we need your help. As we speak, we are in the process of delivering our legal analysis to Congress. It can't stop there, and that's why we are calling for a special matching moment. We have donors ready to step up to match any donation. Help us reach our $250,000 goal. We need you to help give us a fighting chance. The ACLJ will fight to support the Supreme Court's draft opinion, support the lives of the unborn, and let everyone on Capitol Hill know where patriotic Americans stand. Through this matching moment, your donation is effectively double, and you only have until midnight this Wednesday to make it happen. Visit aclj.org right now.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, I want you to take very seriously these next 24 hours. We are at the ACLJ. You know, the draft Supreme Court opinion leaks. It looks like Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned. You've got the left. We don't 100% know that, by the way, because there's not an official opinion out by the court. There's a pressure campaign on the justices trying to get them to change their votes as we speak right now. But there's also something even, I think, more dangerous, and it's being kind of just not taken seriously by the mainstream media, because they know it's a little bit uphill, and they don't want to, I think, set the bar so high for Democrats that if they don't get this done tomorrow, they've somehow lost the issue. But they are going to take a vote on codifying. That means making federal the right to abortion a federal law, so they're not reliant on judicial-created rights, which is what Roe versus Wade and the follow-up cases are, but they would actually put it into federal law. We're ready to fight that out, by the way. We are already ready to take that to court, but we don't want to have the fight there. We want to have the fight in the states, state by state, state by state. Now, the media is saying, well, they really can't get this vote. They don't have enough votes.
Not what Chuck Schumer
said. We just broke down for you for the first half hour multiple ways. It's already passed the House of Representatives. Joe Biden has said he will sign it. So as Thad said, Chuck Schumer just has to figure out how to get to 51 twice. Once on ending the legislative filibuster, and the second time on codifying one of the two bills that's out there to codify abortion as a federal right. This is all happening tomorrow. And one of the bills out there, proposed piece of legislation, is by two Republicans, Murkowski from Alaska and Collins from Maine. Now, the pressure for them, if they were to adopt their more, I guess, restrained language, if you will, it's not as extreme as Schumer's. It follows Roe versus Wade. Could you get their votes on ending the filibuster? Could you do a narrow ending of the filibuster? And Thad said, yes, you can. This is down to just a handful of votes. I want to go right to Washington, D.C. with Thad a minute, because Thad, I mean, literally, this is going to turn on two or three votes. That's how thin the margin is here. So for the media and all these people who are commenting who say, oh, this is just a political vote, no, it's not.
Yeah, that would be a big mistake to assume that, Jordan. I mean, a very big mistake. Let's work backwards for a minute. If he gets to a final vote on substance, we know, as we sit here today, there are 51 U.S. senators, including two Republicans, that would agree with that as long as the language is what they prefer, which Leader Schumer can accomplish, Jordan. Once he gets on the bill, he can make it that language so he can enact the bill. So the vote that we need to be looking at is this vote, this cloture vote to end the filibuster. Jordan, let me put this as simply as I can. He needs one vote there. He needs one vote. As we sit here today, there are 49 U.S. senators in favor of circumventing the filibuster, getting around the filibuster in order to enact this legislation. Only Joe Manchin from the Democrat side of the ledger is not willing to go there. Jordan, we are within a single vote, and we should not assume that Leader Schumer is not trying to get that vote.
You do realize, everybody.
And Planned Parenthood's trying to get that
vote. Of course.
And Susan Collins owes Planned Parenthood because they support her reelection efforts. So Murkowski also. These again, they get support, even though they're Republicans, from Planned Parenthood. So they're going to them right now saying, can you be that 50th vote to end the legislative filibuster here?
But you realized that the leaker of this opinion got the reaction exactly what he wanted.
Oh, it was
or she
planned,
wanted. I don't know if it's a male
or
female.
Yeah, we don't know, but it was planned. It was planned and it was orchestrated and they thought it out
exactly
right. They said, let's leak the opinion. To get the public all roused up and the abortion industry all riled up and out in force, and then we can get this legislation and we can enact it and we can overturn what the Supreme Court has said. This is orchestrated, planned, and completely thought out.
They are not just a grassroots movement. They're a billion-dollar-a-year business. And billion-dollar-a-year businesses don't take a draft court opinion and then say, oh, we're just going to lie down when they hand out millions and millions of dollars to all these politicians. If they can keep this in Washington, D.C., that's where they want to keep this battle. It's more cost-effective for them. If they can keep this issue in Washington and not have to fight state by state by state, they've won, essentially, even by losing in the court. If they lose at the Supreme Court, that's why we have this matching moment. You've got till midnight tomorrow night. Stand with us. We're trying to raise $250,000 in about 24 hours. ACLJ.org. Donate today. Welcome back to Secular. I do want to start taking some of your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And first, let me just say, If you're financially able to be part of this matching moment right now, we've got to fight for life. We got this issue coming up before the Senate tomorrow, already passed the House. The president would sign it. That would effectively try to at least make whatever decision the Supreme Court holds on Roe versus Wade, whether that draft opinion holds or not, or something similar, to nullify it, because they want to codify. That means federally legislate abortion as a right. Now, we believe that's not going to withstand legal constitutional scrutiny long-term in court. But that is, again, keeps the battle in federal court in Washington, D.C., instead of winning hearts and minds in state legislatures across the country. And so that'd be a huge victory for the abortion industry. The vote is tomorrow. So we have got a matching moment. We've never done this before at the ACLJ. Our goal is to raise $250,000. So we can combat all this at every front, the legislative front, the legal front. This is all before the case even comes out. This battle is now ongoing. This isn't a battle for the summer. This isn't a battle for the fall. This is a battle happening tomorrow on Capitol Hill. And I think it will continue. Even if they don't get all the way tomorrow, they're going to have way too much pressure from this industry. It's a billion-dollar-a-year yep. business. They're not going to just go to, if they're one vote short, that's what they said. One vote short. They're going to work this and work this and work this over time. So tomorrow's a key day, but that's why we want to be ready with the resources.
Yeah, so we've got this matching moment. We freed up $250,000 our matching funds for this moment because we're operating legally, legislatively, of course, over the airways. And you got to understand something. The left has gotten the reaction they wanted to get here. Now, Harry Hutchinson joining us, our director of policy. There's three things going on here. One is the opinion gets leaked, which is unheard of, a draft opinion. They want a legislative fix. They're fighting on that right now. We're dealing with that. It's a real battle. They want a intimidation factor campaign, which is happening, to say, hey, this is just a draft opinion. Maybe we can get these judges to change their opinion.
I think that is correct. It's also important, though, to look at history. Many on the left saw Roe v. Wade as a legislative enactment by the United States Supreme Court. In other words, it was a raw exercise of judicial power, unmoored to any text or any principle within the Constitution. So in some respects, it's important to keep in mind that Roe v. Wade itself reflects mob action and a mob effect, if you will, on the United States Supreme Court. Now, the leak of the draft opinion in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, which was written by Justice Alito, has spurred the left to follow Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. It's also unleashed President Biden and Jen Psaki to become extreme abortion supporters. And it echoes what Senator Schumer attempted to do with respect to Justice Gorsuch. In other words, Schumer said, you will reap a whirlwind. Yeah. And I think this campaign of intimidation, in essence, is part of that whirlwind.
Here's what he said.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
And I want to tell you, Senator Schumer, that someone leaked an opinion from the Supreme Court of the United States that's never happened in Supreme Court history. It's a horrible, horrible day. Number one. Number two, we're not going to take this intimidation. The opinion, if that becomes the opinion, was well-reasoned and is correct under the law. But you got to listen to what Senator Schumer said. He's not playing games on this legislation, Jordan and Than. He is taking this very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is what we've got to underscore to people. We'll take some phone calls in a second, but we got to underscore what you said. I want you to go through it again. He's looking for one vote right now in the U.S. Senate, one vote, and he could codify abortion as a federal right tomorrow.
Jordan, he's looking for one vote because the only vote that he's having a hard time getting the votes necessary is for that vote to invoke cloture to nuke the filibuster and proceed to the bill with just 50 votes. Jordan, he knows he's got 49 votes. As of now, he does not have Joe Manchin from inside his own caucus. He does not have Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski, two Republican senators who support the underlying bill, at least the narrower one, but they do not support circumventing the filibuster. But Jordan, to go back to the conversation you just had with your dad, they've accomplished a scenario now where all of the legislative pressure in town, I mean all of it, is on those three senators, maybe Kyrsten Sinema a little bit as well, but I think she's probably already there. So you've got a scenario where he only needs one of those three votes, Jordan, and all of the pressure in town, it's on those three. If he can get over that hurdle, Jordan, he's got 51 votes on substance.
Let's go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110, folks. We have our matching moment. Don't forget ACLJ.org. Whatever you donate, we're matching up to $250,000 in the next 24 hours.
Let's go to Judith in Maine, online 3. Hey, Judith. Welcome to Seculo.
Thank you.
You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, couldn't the personhood of the unborn be established at this time, changing the whole scenario? There's so much evidence.
Yeah, so, you know, if you look at the opinion, the draft opinion, Andy, that Justice Alito wrote, it doesn't go that far. It doesn't say personhood.
No, it doesn't.
It talks about the abortion right not being recognized. But the premise of that, of course, is it's not recognized because there is a competing life. And he does say this. When he talks about all these other rights, you're hearing everybody talking about what if this abortion right goes, all these other things are going to happen. All these other rights are going to fail. And he says, no. And this is where it comes very close to that. He said, because those situations are distinct, Andy, because they don't involve another life.
Right. He made it very, very clear that this opinion cannot and will not be cited ever on anything other than abortion.
Because it's the taking of a human life.
Because it is essentially a homicide. That's what it is. It's a homicide. And he said, do not think that this means that all the other lines of cases that have relied on the necessary and proper clause of the Commerce Clause of the 14th Amendment are going to be cited as being precedent. This is simply an abortion case. It was a legislative act by a court, the raw exercise of judicial power. It was wrong when it was decided in 1973. It is wrong in 2022.
But Harry, the fact is, the left is getting exactly what they wanted here as far as reaction. Now, we could defeat them tomorrow, but we got to work to do it.
I think that's correct. So the left is exercised for two basic reasons. First, they seek to overturn Roe v. Wade. But secondly, they are attempting to cast this particular decision as a political wedge. And so in this particular maneuver, they are following Saul Alinsky's approach, which says, picket the target, freeze it, personalize it and polarize it. And so thus far, that's precisely what the left has done. They have suggested, among other things, that we ought to burn the Supreme Court down. They are now attempting to intimidate justices, perhaps in terms of changing their mind. But at the end of the day, this is a political wedge issue among alienated people.
We have the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, tweeted out that it's a call to arms. That's a city plagued by gun violence. And she's calling. We put the tweet up on our screen right now so you can see it. I mean, this is a call to arms. Now, think about everything they've talked about with January 6th. I'm not going to get into all of that right now and all the insurrection talk they talk about. Literally, when you use a call to arms, that's what you're talking about. I mean, they believe it.
Exposing who they are.
Right. Especially the Democrat, it's the politicians themselves. It's not all Democrats. It's not all people who vote Democrat. It's the politicians who are owned by Planned Parenthood. We've heard that from so many former Democrats and people from the party. If you don't walk the Planned Parenthood line, you're not inside the party. Tim Ryan, who's running for U.S. Senate in Ohio, he's running as this ultra-moderate Democrat. His name is on the letter to end the filibuster to the Senate. So he's running against J.D. Vance in Ohio. He's running as almost a MAGA Democrat, as he's kind of referred to himself. He is calling on the Senate to end the filibuster. Do you know why? His campaign is funded by the abortion industry. So he can play up as moderate as he wants, but his name's on the letter. He signed it. Get rid of the filibuster for abortion. Let's go to Cheryl in Pennsylvania. Hey,
Cheryl, real quick.
Thank you for letting me call. I have a question about the Supreme Court. Yep. I understand when it was set up, it's unlike any other court in the United States, and one of their primary duties is to make sure that legislation passed by the Congress is in concert with the U.S. Constitution. Where does the legislature get the right to do this to the Supreme Court and usurp the powers?
Well, because there's not federal legislation that had been challenged here. So this was state legislation is how this came up that was challenged by the pro-abortion groups. So now they want to federalize the right. They haven't done that before. It was state recognized. And they recognized the right to abortion under the Constitution as part of the penumbras of liberty. And now the Supreme Court, if that opinion becomes the law, of what Justice Alito said, becomes the actual law, that opinion undoes that. And that's why they're fighting so hard. And that's why they're going to try to cram this legislation through. And that's why we're in a matching moment. Today, it's just 24 hours, folks. We've unleashed $250,000 of our matching funds to be matched for this. Your support will make a huge difference. Go to aclj.org or respond to the email that you've already received, aclj.org.
We're joined by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. Secretary Pompeo, I know you've been tweeting about it, talking about it as you travel the country. We saw the leak of Justice Alito's draft opinion. We're seeing the protests in front of his houses. But we now know that Chuck Schumer is pushing for a vote tomorrow in the U.S. Senate on, it's called the Women's Health Protection Act. It's a very radical bill. It goes way beyond Roe versus Wade, but it would codify abortion as a federal right into law. A lot of the media playing it down, but as we've analyzed today, he's missing one vote, basically, that he needs to get rid of the legislative filibuster, and suddenly they've gotten out ahead of the Supreme Court opinion, and this battle is stuck in federal court. I mean, people, I think, need to take this very seriously, Secretary Pompeo, because the abortion industry has got a serious hold on a lot of these politicians.
Oh, Jordan, I don't think there's any doubt about the fact this is serious. I hope that everybody who cares about protecting the unborn, who wants the basic right of that child to be born, just so fundamental, and who has seen Roe for, goodness, since 1973, right now 50 years of policy, has seen how badly decided that was, the damage it has done to not only the lives of the unborn, but to the women who aborted those children. I hope everyone can see that this is a real moment. The leak was intentional. It was designed to create exactly the public pressure that you're seeing with the protests at the homes of Supreme Court justices against the law. I think you can see this is precisely the energy they were trying to stir. And those of us who believed in this basic idea that life begins at conception and that the United States has a responsibility to protect each of those lives, need to make sure we communicate with our elected officials at every level, at the state level, where this could ultimately be decided, but in the hours in front of us at the federal level, to make sure that they don't break the filibuster in a way that would permit the codification of Roe v. Wade. It would be bad for the unborn. It would be bad for America's soul, and it would be bad for American politics as well. This issue should be fought out democratically in the way that it was for our first 200 years. I pray that we get back to that place, and if Chuck Schumer, Senator Schumer, has his way, that won't be so.
I want to play, Mike, I've just played it before, but I want to play it again for you to hear. This was when this case was argued. This is what Senator Schumer screamed in front of the Supreme Court in the United States.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
So he's done exactly what he said he would do. They got the help here of a leak. You tweeted out, make no mistake, if Roe is overturned, the pressure to abandon our principles will be staggeringly immense. Those using the pro-life movement for political gain will surrender. Those who believe every life bears the image of our Creator will persevere. I will persevere. Will you? There is this concern that, you know, the pro-life movement's going to say, oh, Roe's overturned. That's it. We're done.
Mike. Yeah, this fight begins with the overturn of Roe.
Right. Right.
It puts us back to the place we were in 1972 and 1962 and 1952. And I think both science and faith call very clearly for being prepared to defend the unborn. They will. The amount of money flowing to the abortion industry will drive this, the politics of this. It will drive the radicalization of this. You can see it. You can feel it. You can watch it on your TV. Where an MSNBC announcer says, "I'd love to have a child so that we can abort it."
Mm, right? I saw that yesterday. This, yep.
These are ideas that are so deeply antagonistic to our understanding of who we are as human beings, and certainly as who we are as Americans. I pray that those of us who just simply want Roe overturned so that these unborn children can find their life, their opportunity, the same way Weechi've had it. We won't abandon the playing field. The pressure will be enormous on those folks who sit in states which are contested states. The pressure on those leaders will be enormous. I just ask everybody who's thinking about this issue or who's voting on this issue or who holds elected office, who's making decisions about this issue, to be true to the things they know. Because when you're true to the things you know these are lives. You know that they are precious. You know that the families that are created as a result of them being born alive will be glorious families, and we need to make sure that we do everything we can to make sure that the pressure that flows as a result of this leak and potentially as a result of the decision that will be rendered for the Supreme Court to overturn Roe, that the campaign that will be waged against the unborn will be, as I said, it will be immense and staggering. And we just need to stay in the fight and continue to get it right and deliver a reasoned, compassionate message. And I think the American people will understand that.
That is not the message that's coming from the pro-abortion industry and their paid-for politicians. I mean, we saw the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Lightfoot, Secretary Pompeo, tweet out that this is a call to arms. This, if the draft opinion is the actual opinion of the court, a call to arms tweeted out. I mean, a city plagued by gun violence and their mayor, but using that kind of language. I think that people need to understand it may not be resonating as much in their towns and cities right now, but it is very much, it is Washington, D.C. knows the influence of this industry. And, apart from your time as Secretary of State and CIA Director, but in Congress as well, those Planned Parenthood lobbyists, they're working the phone right now to try and find that one vote to end the legislative filibuster tomorrow.
No doubt, Jordan. And they know the likely suspects. They know those people who they have seen fold before in the face of pressure from Planned Parenthood and the broader abortion industry. I'd urge people to continue to work, to continue to pray. When I hear Mayor Lightfoot who use language like that, you all, ACLJ and I, we've all been steadfast. Right. No riots, right? No violence. This is about returning the opportunity for voters to make good decisions for their own state about how to treat this contentious issue. This is a dangerous time in the physical sense. We need to pull back from that space. It doesn't mean you ever have to give an inch. This isn't about standing up steadfastly for the principles you depend on. It is about fighting it in the space that we all know to be consistent with who we are as Americans.
And that's exactly what we're trying to do. Mike, we appreciate it. I want to say this to our audience. You just heard from the former Secretary of State. You've heard from our lawyers. You've heard from our government affairs team. Than Bennett was on this broadcast just moments ago. He's now in a meeting at our office with members of the House and Senate staffs on this. This is a big, big issue, and we're moving very, very quickly and aggressively. We call this a moment because exactly what they wanted to happen has happened. They leak an opinion. They see the overturning of Roe versus Wade might actually happen. Again, it's a leaked opinion, but that may be the opinion. And then they immediately move for legislation. This has happened in a week, less than a week. They're trying to intimidate judges. They're trying to see if they can get one judge to peel off, maybe. They're trying to get this legislation through or maybe pack the court. But we know they're trying to get the legislation through. And we are working on it, and we're working on litigation if necessary. And this is a moment in time, and it's just 24 hours. It's this legislation issue is over with tomorrow. That's what we expect. I mean, anything could change, but right now it's set for tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think tomorrow is a big day that we've got to get the win, and they're one vote short. It doesn't mean they'll give up, but we will have a much better idea of what where we need to fight, how we need to fight. That's why we need the resources now. We can't wait for this battle to be after the court opinion. And we're prepared for that. We've been preparing for that for over a year to prepare to fight this battle in the states. But now that this opinion leaked, we've got to be ready to fight it in Capitol Hill right now. We're doing that as we speak. We've got a $250,000 matching moment goal. That's until midnight tomorrow night. So we need your support at the ACLJ. You go to aclj.org. You donate today. Again, it only goes until midnight tonight. You double the impact of your donation. This is to fight for life. These funds are being used to stand up for the life of the unborn in the United States of America. Go to aclj.org. Be part of this matching moment, this time in history, aclj.org.